Tonight, would you open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Before you get there, do you know what it's about, Galatians 5, 22? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Among fundamental Baptists and others, sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit is overlooked. It's definitely under-preached. Wonder why? We're sort of afraid of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, doctrines pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Maybe we don't want to appear charismatic, and so we can neglect portions of the Scripture so as to not be mistaken. But we want to be sure that we cover all of the doctrines, the whole counsel of God, not skip anything. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, baptizes us into Christ, we discovered from Colossians 2:12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. So we're baptized, buried with Him by baptism. That was done, we've talked about it, by the Holy Spirit, places us in Christ. The Bible tells us that we're indwelt by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? So we're indwelt. The Spirit of God lives within. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God seals the believer. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed. We've been talking about in our Sunday school and some on Wednesday nights as well about the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit gifts us and empowers us to exercise those gifts. It has been duly noted, I believe, that one will not be able to know or exercise his gift without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And filled does not mean have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. He's there if we know Him. But filled, you remember from Ephesians, is talking about being controlled by the Spirit. If the Spirit imparts the gift, and if the Spirit empowers the gift, then we're going to have the Spirit of God in control so He can do what He wants to. My prayer for you regularly is that you'll know what God's gift to you is. That you'll submit yourself to the Spirit of God and that you'll be able to exercise your gift. But we must be filled. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Filled means controlled. Like an alcoholic is controlled by his alcohol, we are controlled by the Spirit of God within us. We're under the influence always of the Holy Spirit. This filling is not me getting more of Him, but in a sense it's Him getting more of me. The control of more of me, Him having control of my whole life is the idea. That's alluded to several times in the New Testament in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God, the daughters of God, are led by the Spirit of God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are supposed to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, you're close there. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God has a whole lot to do with our Christian lives, right? That's obvious from reading the Scriptures. He has much to do with the life of a believer. Now, here's a question. How will I know, how will you know, how will we know when someone is indwelt and sealed and gifted and controlled by the Holy Spirit? How will we know the Spirit's there and that He's doing what He does? The answer to that is found in our passage tonight, verses 22 and 23. The Spirit of God produces fruit His presence there is manifest when he's not grieved. His presence is manifest. And how is it manifest? Well, here's a list of things. Here's how we'll see that you're walking in the Spirit, that you're led by the Spirit, that you're living in the Spirit, that you're filled with the Spirit, that you're listening to Him, that you haven't grieved Him. If things are right between you and God, here's how we'll know it. He lists them here in our passage, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, let me get there. I didn't open my Bible. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Look at the verses with me. But the fruit of the Spirit, did you notice that it's singular? It's singular, the fruit. In other words, He manifests Himself in this way. It's all-inclusive. Well, what is it exactly? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So He lists these elements, if you will, these parts of these ways in which the Spirit of God manifests Himself, referring to it as the fruit. So don't be fooled by one of these. It would be easy to fake it sometimes, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is all of this. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, if you are listening to Him, if you haven't grieved Him, if you're right with God, then these things will be evident in your life or mine. The first one is love. In the Greek Bible, it's agape. We've talked about it several times. A desire, a delight in the well-being of another person. I want what's best for you. I want it whether it cost me, whether it's reciprocated, whether you deserve it. So it's obviously not attached to my feelings. It's a choice. You say, well, you say that pretty often. Are you just going to keep saying, yes, I am. Because the Bible mentions love often in the Bible. And I want us to be reminded, it's a choice. Don't wait for a warm and fuzzy feeling. We need to love one another by choice. And if we love one another, then it will be evidence that we're listening to the Spirit of God, because He urges us, He prods us, He beseeches us to make a choice to love one another. This is the work of the Spirit of God within us. The Holy Spirit-produced love is distinguishable from other loves, from the feelings, from the phileo type of love, because it can be applied even to the unlovely. The unsaved people love people. They choose what's best for their loved ones. Mothers, if they're natural, they like to take care of their kids. And fathers defend their families. That's agape love. I choose to do what's best for you, even if it costs me. But us believers, we can do like God. We can love the unlovely. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to love even our enemies. It's a fruit of the Spirit to love people. To love people in spite of their circumstances. It's hard because we're bigots by nature. We like people who are like us. We have people come to our church and they're not just like us. And we have the rich and the well-dressed sit down on the best pews, right? No. We don't do that at all. We are blind to the differences because we're to love them too. Right? We're supposed to love them too. I got a phone call this afternoon by a young lady, and she was anxious to talk to me. Her and her boyfriend are going to lose their apartment. And she said, "Do you have any money that you could give us?" And I had to explain to her, "Listen, I wish I could say yes, but because you're living with your boyfriend," I said, "we just can't do that. It's contrary to what we believe the Lord would have us to do with that money." And I, before she could say a word, I said, "Now, don't get me wrong. All of us do things that we're not supposed to do. But as a church, we want to be obedient to the Word of God. All of us are sinners. All of us have to confess sins. But we can't be supportive of what you're doing." I have this I have this feeling when I'm talking to somebody, you know, it's like, ooh, shame on you. You're pointing your finger. Ooh, turn up your nose at those individuals. We don't want to do that. Before we hung up, that young lady said, you know, could me and my boyfriend set up a meeting with you and we'll talk about this? Isn't that great? But if I had just turned her off and said, no, we don't help people like you. But we're supposed to love them, right? And reach out to show them the love of Christ. No, we can't support their wrongdoing, but we can certainly talk to them about God's love and demonstrate the love of God. I heard the testimony of a man. This has been 5 or 6 years ago, probably. I read the testimony of a man who visited his sister's murderer in jail. And before he left his cell, he put his arm around him and told him he loved him. The guy who murdered his sister. We're capable of that, brothers and sisters. That's what the Spirit of God does with us. We can love the unlovely. I think of Penny and all of the people that she comes in contact with. Their lifestyles, obviously not like what she would appreciate or we would appreciate, but those people need to know that God loves them. You know how they'll know? We have to love them. We have to love them. The homosexuals, I hate what's happened in our country. I hate the fact that we've dropped our guard, that we've turned our back on all of our inhibitions, and we as a nation have embraced all the things we shouldn't embrace. I hate that, but I don't hate homosexuals. As a matter of fact, if one comes to our church and visits, if I can possibly do it, I'm going to invite him to my house to eat lunch. Right? And let him know, listen, we're all sinners, but this is an outstanding, blatant thing in your life that is keeping you from God's blessing. I'd really like to see you experience life in Christ. And you can turn from your sin. I have. Turn from your sin and receive what God wants to do for you in the way of forgiveness. It's afforded by Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose from the dead. He's alive right now, and He promises that if you'll trust in Him, He'll forgive you for your sins. Now, maybe you're already there. I'm not. I'm a bigot sometimes. Sometimes I have to stop and think about this, you know. They don't look like my kind of people, and I don't want to reach out to them. But I'll tell you one thing I have experienced over my period of time. Those people who look like the least likely candidates are sometimes the easiest people to talk to about the Lord. They're looking for something. That guy with a big heavy earring in his ear, looks like he hadn't had a bath in 6 months. He's got his billfold sticking out and his dingo boots and his leather jacket. Try to talk to him about the Lord. You might find him with tears in his eyes before you get through. I could tell you stories, and I'm not the perfect example. I've passed up a lot more opportunities than I've taken, to be honest. I'm ashamed of it, but I have. But brothers and sisters, I just don't want you to know it's not a big I and little you. It's us together. We need to love. We need to love. Because it's what the Spirit does inside of us. You know how I'll know that you got the Spirit and that He's got a hold of you? You'll love each other. The people who get angry with each other and they stomp off and they say evil things and they will not apologize, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? And I'm not saying they as in the people who don't come to church here anymore, because it might be some of us too, right? I'm not trying to say everybody that's gone's a bad person, everybody here who's here is not. But if we love one another, it's the work of the Spirit of God. What's the next one? Verse 22.
Joy.
Joy is the ability to look on the supernatural bright side of everything. Supernatural bright side. And to look at the supernatural bright side of things and to find that sufficient. The Holy Spirit-produced joy is distinguishable from all others by the fact that it manifests itself through the bad times as well as the good. The joy. I don't want to embarrass her, but Mary Jean and I went to see Lorraine here a couple weeks ago. And she came to the door. She hobbled to the door because it was one of those bad days. And she opened the door with a big smile on her face in the midst of her hardship. Have you found her that way? Thank you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, who gives us joy when we hurt. I just lost my job. Praise the Lord, I didn't lose my ability to work. To look at the supernatural bright side. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. When we can be happy through the struggles and happy through the trials of life. It's hard, isn't it? Our flesh doesn't want that. Our flesh likes to feel good. It likes to be stroked. And we like that. We like it our way. And we're told by the commercials that we can have it our way too, right? Well, you can't always have it your way. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It can't always be our way. There'll be hard times. And when they are hard, we ought to have joy in our hearts. Our joy is the Lord. We know God Almighty. He knows me. That'll put a smile on your face if you really grasp it. Love, joy, what's the third? Peace. The knowledge, and may I say, the accompanying emotion, the feeling that comes along with this idea that everything's okay. Philippians 4 says that it's a peace that passes... Can you finish? Passes all understanding. In other words, I shouldn't have peace right now. But I do. I don't know. I don't know why. Well, I do. I know why you have peace in the midst of the storm. It's because it's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It means you're leaning on the Lord. You're believing His promises. The Holy Spirit of God has taken control. And you have joy. And you have peace that passes understanding. The Holy Spirit produces a peace distinguishable from all others because we don't worry. I'll give you a prayer request. Pat heard that the margin of that tissue that they removed was not wide enough. There could be more cancer cells. Now, she's not here tonight, not because of that news, but some other things are going on in life. But I can hear her. I can hear her now say, "I'm not worried." They're shaking their head. She said, "I'm not worried."
They mentioned that they thought she was a strong person. She said, "No, I'm a born again believer. I have the Lord. And I have nothing to worry about."
Yeah. So what could go wrong? If God be for us, who can be against us? Peace. What's the next one? Long suffering. That means stay with it even when the going gets tough. The Holy Spirit produces long suffering. That produced by Him is evidenced by how old our problems are. I think of a person who says, "My boss he despises me, has for years." Really? How long have you been working there? 16 years. He hasn't liked me one day of those 16 years. That's long-suffering, isn't it? A lot of Christians, they want to quit and go do something else because somebody doesn't like them or because it's hard. Others look at it as an opportunity to serve Him. Long-suffering. People are watching, right? People are watching us. And you know when they watch the closest? When we're going through struggles. When things aren't just rosy. That's when they watch the closest, and that's when our light really shines. Long suffering. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God, this long suffering. It's what having the Spirit of God within does for us. Makes us long suffering. What's the next one? Gentleness, the ability to put others at ease. Gentleness. This is you could camp out on gentleness. It could be defined in give you other nuances of the word, but we'll just leave it at that. The ability to put others at ease. When the Spirit of God produces this gentleness, it is apparent by the fact that you don't have enemies. There are two brothers and you like both of them and they're arguing and they're against each other. They're pitted against each other. So, I mean, older, grown-up brothers. And you won't take a side. I've watched my dad do that. He wouldn't take a side. He would try to be understanding with both sides and be everybody's friend. He was just gentle in his approach to people. I learned that from my father. I watched it in him. Well, it wasn't my father. It was actually the Spirit of God in my father. That's what it was. This gentleness. The next one is what? Gentleness. Goodness. You know, I skipped goodness on my paper. What's the next one? Faith. Faith. I'll talk about goodness another time. Faith. Putting what you believe to work. Putting what you believe. If you believe it or you say you believe it, but when the trials come, you don't do anything with it. Well, that's not faith. Manifested in part by the fact that you're willing to get involved. You believe. You believe the promises of God. You believe that He'll go with you if you'll go. It takes faith to meet here on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock and go out and knock on doors or even hang the packets on doors. Faith. Next is meekness. That's the same as weakness, right? No. Our Lord Jesus was meek, but He was not weak. He was Almighty God. So what is it? I think a good way to describe it is strength harnessed. Strength under control. Meekness. It's a gentleness with others. A submission to the Word of God. It submits itself. It puts others ahead of itself. This meekness. And then temperance. Temperance is self-control. It's distinguishable by our silence in suffering. Our temperance. Silence in suffering. Have you ever had one of those situations where something happened and it really cost you and you couldn't talk about it? It was my grandmother borrowed my 63 Volkswagen Beetle, candy apple red. It was my pride and joy, my first car. Parked it outside and my grandmother needed to use it and I said, sure, we called her Granny. Granny, sure, you can use my car. She'd driven Volkswagens all of her life. She went where she wanted to go and she came back and she parked it in the same place. She got out of the car. But she didn't put it in gear and didn't pull up the emergency brake. She walked to the house and my car went on down the hill. It sort of wrapped around a big walnut tree. Oh my. I said, it's all right, Granny. But inside it wasn't all right. Takes the grace of God, does it not? The grace of God. To make it all right, control yourself. Temperance, self-control. I want you to look at a verse in John. This is our closing verse, and then we're going to share some prayer requests. John chapter 15 and verses 4 and 5. The context in John 15, 4 and 5 is the vine and the branches, which you're probably familiar with. And the thrust of that meaning there in John 15 is that we need to abide in Christ. But if you'll recall, He said, abide in me and I, what? In you. How does Christ abide in me? It makes me think of the Holy Spirit, right? Now that's not what's being said right here in John, but just listen to this verse in the context of what we've been saying. We're not doing any damage to the Scripture here to understand it with this little bit of background, thinking about the Spirit of God living inside of us. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Because the Lord abides in us, we bring forth this fruit. I think it's the fruit of the Spirit in part. There are certain... What is the fruit? Everybody says, well, it must be people getting saved. That's the fruit. No, there's a lot of fruit that we can bear as believers. The fruit of the Spirit is a part of it. Winning people to the Lord and we bear much fruit, that's a part of it. Discipling and edifying and doing the work of the Lord. And there's all sorts of things that are fruit in our life. It's fruit is evidence of God being there. So in essence, this is talking about the same thing as Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. If Christ is in us, if the Spirit abides in us, then it will be manifest so that it's visible to others. And how? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What do people see in me? How do people see you? Your perspective. Do people see these things in you and me? How much of the time do they see these things? Are there moments where I just can't control it? The flesh rears up and we're something other than this. Probably we've all experienced that. Your goal and mine, if we want to exercise our spiritual gift, is to be filled with the Spirit. And evidence of this being filled with the Spirit is right here. The fruit of the Spirit. I pray that the Lord will bless, if you'll think about this passage after tonight. Think about it. Read and ask yourself, is this visible in me? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray and ask your blessing upon our understanding and implementation of these truths to our lives. Father, I pray that your will would be done in every life. And we know, Lord, that that is that we would be obedient. Forgive us for our failures. Help us to listen now as your Spirit teaches us and speaks to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.